Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord. Yes, you're now once again tuned into Are You, it's personal. Are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am your host, Brother James Brown Jr., coming to you live from Hopper Woods, Michigan. We normally come to you live each and every Thursday and every Saturday night from 8 until 9 o'clock p.m. However, there's been a few changes for the next couple of months. On Thursdays for the next couple of months, please mark your calendars. On Thursdays, we will most likely be hosting our shows from 2 to 3 o'clock in the afternoon because God has opened so many new doors for me and opportunities that I have taken advantage of. So on so many Thursdays, we will be hosting our shows from 2 until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So stay abreast and stay tuned so you will know exactly what time we're coming on Thursdays, but every Saturday night, we're still coming to you live from 8 o'clock until 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Well, on tonight, we have none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. We'll be delivering another word from the Lord on tonight. We thank God for him. Thank God for our friendship and our kinsmanship that we have, our paths have been able to cross through Facebook connection. And I thank God for this awesome man of God. He has been a blessing to this worldwide ministry platform. So he's our guest on tonight. Tonight once again. So please get your Bibles, your pens, and your paper ready to follow along. And also mark your calendars. Next Tuesday, which will be March the 26th, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson will be back on with us again from 2 o'clock in the afternoon until 3 o'clock in the afternoon on next Tuesday. We get ready to go into prayer at this time, as we always do. I'm asking all the listeners, if you would please keep my sister in Christ in prayer, Sister Linda Kennedy, Lisa Kennedy, please keep her in your prayers. Our sister, Tara Doss, keep her in your prayers. My Uncle Malachi King, Auntie Ola Hoag, my cousin Marian King, Aunt Essie Tutt in Greensboro, North Carolina, and their friend that's in the nursing home down in North Greensboro, North Carolina, and all those that are sick and afflicted, Brother Vaughn, God knows what he's going through right now, all those that are sick and afflicted, whether we know them or not, keep them lifted in prayer. Those that are bereaved on tonight, continue to pray for them, that the Lord will continue to strengthen their faith as they continue to go through the hour of bereavement all over the land in the name of Jesus. Eternal God, our Heavenly Fathers, in the name of Jesus, we come once again on tonight, giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because, again, you're worthy to be praised, and we thank you that there is none like you in all the earth. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy that you extend to each one of us. Although we don't deserve it, we cannot earn it, but we thank you for your grace, your mercy, even your sufficient grace in the name of Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father, we ask that you will forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, starting with myself, my entire family, Overseer Jackson and his entire family, and every faith believer all over the land that are being faithful doers of your word. Forgive us of all of our sins and our transgressions, Heavenly Father, so that our work for you on earth will not be in vain, is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will move by your spirit over the airways through your man of God on tonight. Continue to bless him, strengthen him, and use him for your glory. I lift up my pastor, Pastor Mark C. Holloway, and all those that you have called and anointed for such a time as this, that are standing on your word, those that are preaching and teaching your word all over the land. Continue to bless them. Continue to move by your spirit through them as they teach and preach your word, Heavenly Father. Continue to grant them the desires of their hearts that would give you glory, honor, and praise. Continue to heal, strengthen, and anoint their bodies where they may be weak. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Now, Lord, we thank you for every listener that faithfully dials in. We thank you for every listener that tunes in through social media platforms around the world, even those that are incarcerated behind prison bars, that are hearing this platform. Continue to bless them all and grant them the desires of their hearts that will give you glory, honor, and praise is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, tonight we do have another spiritual quote for thought, and it comes to us in the thing on tonight, from vision to manifestation. Again, the spiritual food for thought tonight, from vision to manifestation. This is a quote and also a book by Bishop Eric Lloyd of Detroit, Michigan. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can always email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. And please take note that I do not own the copyrights to any songs or music played on this Worldwide Ministry platform. We're getting ready to go to our music break on tonight. And following the music break, we're going to come back and we're going to yield the mic to none other than, again, Overseer Joseph E. Jackson out of Washington, D.C. He will be delivering God's word again on tonight. And I hope and pray that you all have your Bibles, your pens, and your paper so that you can follow along. Enjoy the music break.
Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thy cover me, Lord, with thy presence. Oh, cover me, Lord, with thy breath. Cover me, Lord, with thy spirit. Oh, cover me with thy, with thyself. Oh, cover me with thy presence, hey, oh. Oh, cover me, if you cover me, I'll be protected. If you cover me, I'll be shielded. Oh, cover me. I don't want to be exposed anymore. Cover me. Oh, cover me. Under shadow of the Almighty, I need to be covered today. Oh, cover me. Oh. With thy breath. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My soul says yes. Yes. Come on, lift your voice and say, oh yes. Hallelujah. Oh, come on me. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh. Somebody open your mouth and begin to bless the name of the Lord. Yeah. Come on, bless him. Come on, bless him.
Yes, yes, yes. It's a good thing to know that we're covered by the blood of Jesus. And thank God the blood of Jesus still works and it will never lose its power. So right now we are ready to receive none other than Overseer Joseph E. Jackson again out of Washington, D.C. to deliver another word from the Lord on tonight. I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready to follow along. After he concludes with tonight's message, we will open up the phone lines once again on tonight. Overseer Jackson, I now yield the mic to you.
Thank you, Brother James. We honor God. Can you hear me tonight? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
All right. Thank you. I want to honor the Lord tonight for his goodness, his mercy, and his kindness, and I just want to thank God for the privilege of being able to be with our listeners again tonight. There are some things that I want to make clear, and I want to clear up even before we begin the message, because there's a whole lot of mess going on Facebook. And you've got to be careful what you allow into your spirit. James just played the song, Cover Me. You need to ask God to cover your mind. And you also need to make sure that you start reading the word, because there are people on the internet and other venues that are saying things that are contrary to the word of God. And you can't get caught up in all of that stuff. But Jesus told us that this would happen. And we're living in that day. You've got to be very mindful of who you let speak into your heart. Father, we thank you. We praise and magnify and glorify your name. We bless you. We bless you for your goodness. We bless you for your mercy. We bless you for your kindness. You've been with us another day. You've kept us. You got us through the day. No hurt, no harm, no danger. The angel of God stood around us and kept us. And for that, we're grateful. God, so many things are happening around us, but, Lord, you've spared our lives another day. And, God, we just want to say thanks. We take so much for granted so often, but, God, we're taking time now just to tell you thank you. Like the man that came back, there were 10 lepers. But one came back to just tell you thank you. You asked where were the others. He said, I ain't got nothing to do with them. I'm just coming back myself to say thank you for what you've done for me. And so, God, we're doing the same thing right now. We thank you for all the things that you've done, the blessings that you sent our way. So many times we took them for granted. But, oh, God, we tell you thank you right now. We're remembering what you've done. And we're just saying be with us. Now, God, as we begin to open up the word, we ask that you would touch the hearts and the minds of those that are listening. And, God, give us fertile ground so that we may sow this seed. And they may be blessed. We thank you. In Jesus' name, forgive us of any transgression, any sin, anything that would hinder the word from going forth. Bind it up now in the name of Jesus. Strengthen the hearts of those, God, that are depressed tonight. Help them out of that state, God. Look on our children. They've gone mad. So many of them don't know who you are. They don't even know that you exist, God, and they'll take a life for nothing. And we ask you, God, help them before it's too late. Help them in the name of Jesus. Parents were told to train up a child in the way it should go, and you said it would not depart, but they didn't take the time to do it. Oh, God, born out of lust, they all didn't do anything to help that child. Just had a little bit of pleasure, born a child in the world, and left them on their own. God, help them. In Jesus' name, we stand in the gap for our kids tonight. In Jesus' name.
Oh, yes.
Amen and amen. I want to say to you, each and every one, go in prayer. Remember our children. Remember the children.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I'm looking at the TV all week long, and I'm seeing young people doing crazy things. They're carjacking. They're holding people up with guns. They're shooting people. They're stabbing people. They're doing all kinds of things because they have no knowledge of who God is. I'm asking you to stand in the gap with me for them. God said, I look for somebody to bridge the wall between us, but there was nobody to stand in the gap. He said, but I'm looking for somebody. And I told him, Lord, I'll stand there. And I'm asking you to join me. Our kids. Many of them have no hope for living. Our kids. I think the Bible said to us that the beginning of wisdom was the fear of God. If you had the fear of God in you, wisdom would come. They have no fear. Asking you to keep them in prayer. I heard something the other day that set me to no end. A pastor was teaching his church, and he turned around and said, God does not speak to you. He said, all of you folks that turn around and talk about, the Lord spoke to me and said such and such, you're a liar from the pit of hell. I said, no, you're the liar. Because God does speak to people. He has not changed. The Bible said he's the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. If he spoke to Moses, if he spoke to Elijah, if he spoke to Jeremiah, if he spoke to others, he'll speak to you.
Yes, he will.
No, that's the case, because when I was 17 years old, God audibly, just like I'm speaking to you and you hear my voice, God came into my bedroom and told me that if you continue to serve me the way you are, he said, I'll give you the desires of your heart. And then he turned around and said, and I'll save every member of your family. I want you to know something. Last Thursday, I got a call from my great niece, the last two in my family who don't know Christ, her mother and the daughter, and I've been praying for them. The niece called me up and said, Uncle Joe, I'm coming to spend some time with you. I said, really?
Mm-hmm.
Her in ages, but she's 22 now. She said, I'm coming to spend some time with you. God has blessed me. I said, really? She said, yes. I'm getting ready to get, I've got an associate's degree. I'm getting ready to get my full degree. And then she said, God opened up the door so that I could get a job. I applied for eight places. Eight places accepted me. And I was able to choose the one that I wanted to choose. And then she said, but I got to get close to God, Uncle Joe. I now need to find out who God is. And I dropped the phone and went to screaming and hollering. God showed me that he did not lie. He told
That's
me.
Right.
He was and that girl is on the road to recover. And I thank God for it. So if somebody tells you God don't speak, you tell them they're lying, and you get away from them in a hurry. Tonight I want to talk. I want to talk about something that's getting ready to take place. We're getting ready to celebrate Palm Sunday. And I've noticed that a lot of people don't really know what Palm Sunday is all about. And so my ministry is a teaching ministry and not one where you just scream and howl and yell at folk. I'm going to present to you tonight the thoughts of the Lord has dropped into my mind. This has been a busy day for me this morning. I had to do a funeral service, and I was just the one that was supposed to be giving words of encouragement. But I want you to know that the Lord the Lord met us in that house. I said what the Lord gave me to say, and God swept through the place and blessed us in a tremendous way. The lady came up behind me, told the group, she said, y'all think I'm going to say something after that? She said, I might as well just go to dancing. She said, because I can't compare. But it wasn't me. It was God. And so I'm grateful for the fact that now we're getting ready to tell you something. All right. If you, the enemy is slick now. Now my iPad is going to go to read to you quickly, and then I'll just go on my own. Matthew, the 21st chapter, the first verse. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples to saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you, and at once you will find a donkey there, tied there, with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you," and I should hope that they would. I mean, if you came to get my car and you started driving away, I'm going to stop you. He said, "If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them right away." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, saying to her daughter Zion, "See, your king comes to you gentle and riding on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went, and as Jesus had instructed them, they bought the donkey and the colt and placed the cloth over them for Jesus to sit on. A very large crowd spread their crooks and their crops on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, "Who is this? What is all this coming about? Who is this?" The crowds answered, "This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee." May the Lord have a blessing to the reading of his word. Jesus' entering into Jerusalem was one of the five great events of his life. There were five. First of all, there were really more, but the five greatest things that he did, this was one of them. The first one was his birth. He was born. The second one was his entering into Jerusalem in a triumphant manner. The third was his death. The fourth, his resurrection, and the fifth, his ascension into heaven. He came to fulfill the word of the Lord, and he was on his way to Jerusalem. But if you were listening to us on Thursday, you understand why he hesitated at first to go to Jerusalem, but now he realizes that his time has come. Remember, I told you that every time Jesus got in trouble with the masters, or rather with the authorities, and they wanted to kill him, he escaped without a problem because the Bible said his time had not come. But now we come to the place where his time is looming, and he must fulfill the scriptures concerning his life. You have to remember one thing. I don't know if you heard us or not, and I don't have time to go through it. Go back and listen to the tape. I told you why Jesus had to die. I told you the plot that was formed against him by the Jewish authorities of the time. They wanted to kill him, and they wanted to kill Lazarus. You remember, I told you. And the thing that upset them the most was the fact when Lazarus died, Jesus went to the tomb and raised him from the dead. And the Bible said many who didn't believe began to believe that he was who he said he was. And some of the spies that were sent by the chief priest to go to Mary's house saw what was happening, and they ran back to the priest and said, y'all got to hear what happened today. What we've been hearing, God knows I saw, because I saw him go to the tomb. That man was dead because I had helped them to carry him to the grave. I knew Lazarus had died. But that man told them to roll back the stone. After 4 days of death, he should rigor mortis should have set in, and he should have started decaying, and there should have been a stench. But that man said, roll back the tomb, the stone. And when the stone was rolled back, he stood there in power and majesty and cried out, Lazarus, come forth. He said, we all sat there with an anticipation. Some of us were scoffing and laughing because we knew wasn't going to nothing happen. But all of a sudden, we heard a thud come, a thud here and a thud there, because he was wrapped in clothes like a mummy, and he couldn't walk, but he jumped up and down, and he jumped up the stairway and came out. And when he came out, Jesus said, loose the man and let him go. They cut the bonds off of him and dressed him up. And we've seen Lazarus. We know Lazarus lives. Jesus is who he says he is. And the priest said, we got to kill him. Not only do we have to kill him, but we got to kill Lazarus as well, because Lazarus is a living testimony to who he is. Are you a living testimony?
Yeah.
Has God done anything for you that the folk who knew you prior to your salvation could come back and look and say, I know God has done something in his life, because I see the way he or she now lives. I knew them when, but look at them now. Can anybody say that you have a difference in your life because you met Jesus? And I got news for you. When the favor of God is on you, folk will try to kill you. Folk will
yes,
try.
Will.
Folk will look at you in a different manner. Today when I spoke at the church, I saw the looks of some of the ministers. They were amazed at how God had used me to bless the church. And I looked at them, and the Spirit of the Lord said, don't expect to get not one invitation from any of them. Envious of you. They're envious of the way I've used you. Don't even look to be called to do nothing. And that's what happens when you walk with God. And so now Jesus has told his disciples, it's time to go into Jerusalem. And the disciples turn around and say, but they're trying to kill you. Why would you go? And he says, because that was my purpose for coming. You just didn't know it, but I do. We've got to go to Jerusalem. Now, you've got to understand something. You've got to understand something here. They had to walk. They didn't have the Mercedes. They didn't have the Cadillac. They didn't have the Jeep. They had to walk. They didn't have a camel. They didn't have no mode of transport. They had to walk. And where they were coming from, Bethany to Jerusalem, was a 20-mile hike, which meant they had to walk that mileage. And as I was studying, they said, you usually walk about 2 hours, you usually walk about a mile in 2 hours, which meant that by their walking, it would take them 20 hours to get to where they had to go, almost 2 days. So, you know, them guys were tired. They were tired.
Okay.
Then when they get to the Garden of Gethsemane and fall asleep, they had just eaten a meal and they had walked 20 miles. They were tired. One thing Jesus did was he said, you know, I've got to fulfill the scripture, and I don't have a donkey. I've got to ride on the colt. The colt is the child of the offspring of the donkey. Because the scripture says, I have to come into Jerusalem not as a conquering king, but as a peaceful king. And you got to know something else, that in those days, if a king came on riding on a donkey, he came and you knew he was coming in peace. But if he came on a horse, it meant that he came for war.
Mm-hmm.
First time he comes into Jerusalem, he's on the donkey. And that's significant because the high priest recognized what's happening. Ultimately, they turned around and he told the two disciples, go into the city and you go find the donkey and the cat and the colt there. They'll be tied up. Go get them. And if anybody asks you what you're doing, tell them I have need of it. They'll get it back. I looked at that and had to laugh because I said to myself, I wonder how I would have. I said it was a good thing that I wasn't born at that time because I didn't have that kind of mindset that I have now. If you had come to some strangers had come to my house and asked for the keys to my Cadillac, I'd have looked at them like they were crazy and would have probably done what Peter did when he denied Jesus. I'd have probably cussed them too.
I know that's right. The
Lord didn't allow me to live in that time. But there was a method. Whoever that donkey belonged to, they saw the apostles tick, and he said, whoa, where are you going? And he said, the Lord has need of these. Isn't it amazing that when somebody says God has need, that folk will just let go and let you have what they have, knowing that it's coming back to you because the Lord said, I have need of these. And when God uses something, he usually multiplies it and sends it back to you.
That's right.
They go get the coat, and they bring it back to Jesus, and they take some of their clothes, and they put it on the donkey's, on the colt's back, like a saddle for him, and allows him to sit on it, and they proceed to go into Jerusalem. Now, you've got to understand something. Another thing, you've got to know these things. You just can't read to read, but you've got to read in depth and understand what's happening. What happened is, it's the time of the Passover, and the Jews were commanded by God to remember the Passover. The Passover was a celebration of the time when God told Moses, take the blood of the lamb and put it over the doorpost so that when the death angel came through Egypt on that night and took away the firstborn of every Egyptian and the firstborn of their cattle, you would not suffer the loss that they would suffer. And because God did that, Pharaoh let the people go. And God said, you are to remember this. You're to remember this time. And you're to celebrate it once a year. And so they had a rule that all Jews had to go to Jerusalem at least three times a year for three celebrations. And this was one of the celebrations. Now Jerusalem was a city that held about 250,000 people at any given time. Now, that was a lot of people in that day. A lot of people now, but it was a lot of people in that day for one city. But when it was time for Passover, that city had to accommodate 2.5 million souls. They were all coming. Celebrate the Passover. They were living in the city. They were outside of the city. Any place there was a piece of land that they could put up a tent on, they were there. 2.5 million people. And here comes Jesus. And as he comes, somebody recognizes him. And they turn around and they holler, Jesus is on his way into town. The healer is on his way into town. The deliverer is on his way into town. You heard all about him. He's on his way. This is the man that stops off in villages and touch and has compassion on people. And their blind eyes are opened and deaf ears are able to hear again. Jesus of Nazareth is on his way into the city, and people from all around had heard about him, and now they're getting ready to see him. And suddenly somebody hollers out, Hosea, glory to God. And they turn around and they throw their clothes and they throw the palms in front of him. And there's a great commotion. commotion as he comes into the city, because the king is coming riding on a donkey, as was prophesied by one of the early prophets. And when he gets close to the city, all a great clamor and commotion takes place. People are screaming and hollering everywhere. The Son of David is here. Hosanna, God is with us. The Son of David, our Messiah, has come. And by this time, the priests are in their places watching out of the window. And somebody said, what in the world is going on? What is all this noise here? What is this great clamor? What's happening out there? And somebody looked out the window and said, you won't believe this. And they said, what? They said, there's a man coming into the city riding on a colt. And they said, who is this that would dare to do this? Who is this that could cause so much of a stir? And somebody said it was Jesus of Nazareth. Now, if you want to know who he is, I can imagine that maybe there might have been somebody in the crowd that didn't know who Jesus was. They hadn't heard about him. And so when they cry, who is this? I can imagine that Bartimaeus might have come out of that crowd and said, brother, my name is Bartimaeus. I was sitting by the roadside begging along with a friend of mine one day. And I heard, like today, a great commotion coming through. And I asked somebody what was happening. And they told me that this man that you see coming now, that we see coming now. He said, because when I first met him, I couldn't see. But look at me now. You want to know who it is? It's the healer by the name of Jesus. He healed me of blindness. He healed my buddy of blindness. I tell you who he is. He's a healer, sir. He's a healer. I can imagine the woman, the issue of blood might have been in the crowd. She said, baby, let me tell you my story. I couldn't get near him because everybody was crowded around him. He was on his way to Jairus' house to bless, to help keep his daughter from dying. But I had a mission. I had been sick for 12 years. Every dime I had, I spent, and the doctors took my money and couldn't help me. I was in trouble. I couldn't go to church. I couldn't go nowhere because I was considered to be unclean. Life was miserable for me. But I saw and heard him coming. And I crawled on my hands and knees. They could have trampled me to death. But I was determined that I had to get to Jesus. I didn't have to speak to him. I said if I could just touch the hem of his garment, maybe something would happen. She said, but I touched the hem. When all of a sudden, an electric shock went through me. And the blood stopped running. I was healed because I touched him. I'll tell you who Jesus was. Maybe there was another man in the church. He said, you know, I was a successful doctor. I was a physician. I was helping so many people. And all of a sudden, one day I caught a disease called leprosy. And leprosy, you know, is a deadly disease. It's the AIDS of our time. If you catch it, you can't get rid of it. At that time, you couldn't get rid of it. There's a cure for it now, but you couldn't get rid of it. He said, I had to leave my practice. I had to get out of my home. I couldn't see my wife and children. I couldn't go to the church. Every time I walked the streets, I had to cry, unclean, unclean, unclean. I had to get out of people's way. I had to hope that somebody would give me something to eat. I couldn't go to the grocery store. I couldn't go anywhere. Mm-hmm. One day, I was with nine other fellows. And we were standing on the roadside, and Jesus was on his way to us, and we heard the people talking about this great healing. We had heard so much about him. And I said, you know, I'm going to take a chance. They told me that he could heal. I'm going to take a chance. I don't know. I've never seen. I'm going to take a chance. Some of us are like that. We didn't know Jesus could do what he did for us, but we took a chance. And he turned around to Jesus. He said, I hollered out to Jesus. I said, Jesus, have mercy on us. And he said, what do you want? He said, we need to be healed. And Jesus looked at us and said, I don't have to touch you. Just go tell the priest that you're healed. And he said, the other folk looked at him and they almost didn't do it. But then they said, what have we got to lose? And we all turned and we walked back toward the city so that we could get to the house of God to show ourselves. But we noticed that every step we took, every step I took, the disease had begun to wash away. My nose came back into place. My ears that were falling out off were restored. My hands, my fingers, everything that wasn't working properly began to work. But as I started walking, I stopped and I ran back and fell at his feet and told him thank you. He asked me a question. He said, what did they tell you? He said, I ain't got nothing to do with the other nine. I came back to say thanks. And my question to you is, have you really taken the time to look at what God has done for you? Have you taken the time to see where Jesus has brought you from? Have you looked to see where you could have been had you not met him? What did he say? He said, when you were polluted in your blood, he said, I stopped by like the good Samaritan did to the man on the road to Jericho. I stopped by and picked you up out of your sin. I stopped by and cleansed you from your alcoholic behavior. I stopped by and stopped you from flopping from bed to bed. I stopped by and kept you from catching AIDS and any other kind of disease. I did everything that I had to do for you, and I made you whole. Have you ever taken the time really just to go and take inventory of what God has done for you and cry out to him, thank you?
Thank you, Jesus.
God will bless you in a tremendous way. I know because I did it not long ago. Like Andre Crouch said, take me back to the place where I first believed. And I told God, take me back to the place where I first found you. Take me back to that place where I loved you with an everlasting love. Take me back to that place where I was willing to do whatever you said to do. And God said, if you just seek me, you'll find me. He turned around and said, draw near to me and I'll draw near to you. Then he turned around and said, you need to do your first works all over again. Some of us have forgotten what God has done for us, and we need to get back with him. We need to get right with him because he's on his way back again. And you don't want to be left behind because you are messed up in the mind. You better go back and tell him thank you and do what he told you. I promise you that he'll bless you. Me. He's done it for me. He'll do it for you. He said he's no respecter of persons. What he does for one, he'll do for another.
Yes, he will. I'm a witness.
Who is it? That was the question. And the Bible says, and when the word got back to the priests, they were doubly determined. We got to kill him. We got to kill him. Because if these people believe on him like they did, we got to kill him. We've got to kill him, and we got to kill Lazarus as well, because we can't have some residue hanging around pointing to the fact that he is the Son of the very God. We have got to kill him, but we can't kill him now because you got 2 million people here, and we're not going to cause a riot. We're not going to cause a riot. We got to find a way to get rid of him. And that's when the devil began to move with Judas and all the other folk that are involved in the plot that we're going to talk about the next time. The plot continues. But the reason why Jesus into Jerusalem and they threw those palms down from him because they said God is with us. Jesus was fulfilling a part of the prophecy.
That
to the daughters of Jerusalem, the king, your king is coming in peace. Your king is coming in peace. The next time he comes, it won't be so peaceful. The next time he comes, it will be
the next time.
The next time he comes. But you see, before he comes, that next time, you want to go up with him when he comes in the rapture. You don't want to be left here. You don't want to have to go through the hell he's going to go through. You think it's bad now? Oh, my God, when the Holy Ghost is taken out of here and all restraint is moved, you think Donald Trump is a mess now? You think Putin is a mess now? You think the man in Korea is a mess now? You and when the man of sin presents himself and gets them all caught up with him, you think it's a mess now? You ain't seen nothing yet. You better get out of here while you can.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Hosanna, God is with us. God is with you. I'll tell you who he is. I'll tell you, a little lady came running. She said, my son had died. And you know that in Jerusalem, you know that in our country, if your husband is dead and your son is gone, your son is the person that's supposed to take care of you. And if you don't have nobody and you ain't got no relatives, the only way you can make it is to get out here and sell your body. The only way you can make it is to get on the streets and beg. I had nobody. I had lost all of my hope. My son was dead, but when we were carrying him to the grave, Jesus stopped by and stopped the procession and had mercy on me and turned around and spoke to my son and said, get up. And that boy came back from the grave and is with me. Here he is, right here. Here he is. Alive and well. I'll tell you who Jesus is. He's a way maker. He's a healer. He's a deliverer.
Yes.
And then there were other folk in the crowd. Other folk in the crowd who said, one day I stopped by a friend's house and Jesus was there and he had mercy on me. And he dealt with my condition. The last man I want to talk about is a man who couldn't walk. And some friends carried him to where the meeting was being held. They couldn't get in. And the Bible said they were so determined to get him to Jesus that they tore off a man's roof and lowered him down. And Jesus healed the man. And the man got up and carried his bed out of the place. I'll tell you who Jesus is. He's a way maker. He's a birth. He's a heart lifter. He's a mind regulator. What do you need him to do? What do you need him to do? Gee, God said to Moses, I am that I am. I am whatever you need me to be. If you
just
to find me. Hosanna. God is with us. Father, we thank you. We praise you. Magnify and glorify your name. And we bless you in the name of Jesus. Now, bless your people. Bless them and help them in these troubled times. Make ways out of nowhere. Open doors and avenues so that when people ask them, who is this? They'll be able to say, it's Jesus, my Savior, my Lord, my healer, my deliverer, my way maker. That's who it is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you so much, Overseer Jackson. Listen, I'm looking forward to next Thursday afternoon. For those of you that can and are able to tune in on next Thursday from 2 to 3 in the afternoon, you want to tune in and be blessed by what God is going to say through him again. I was blessed by this word on tonight, and I know that I was not the only one. So at this time, I'm ready to open up the phone line for all of those that have dialed in to have an opportunity to speak with Overseer Jackson. We want to keep our sister in Christ. We want to keep Gwen Walker in our prayers. I think her daughter was blessed her to take her out of the country. So I know it. I don't see her on the line tonight, and I did send her a text message. So apparently she's still out of the country, so we want to pray safe travels for her while she's there, and she have a safe trip back to the United States and back to her home. That's our sister in Christ, Gwen Walker, from historic St. James Baptist Church on Evergreen. At this time, I'm opening up the phone line for those of you that have dialed in. We do know that a lot of people do dial in, and when we open up the phone lines, they don't say anything, but we still thank God for them taking time out of their schedule to tune in and be blessed by God's word. And also, we want to thank God for those that are incarcerated behind prison bars for whatever reason, that they have an opportunity to tune into the website and be blessed by God's word as well. They cannot dial in by phone, but they do send me Facebook messages. I do receive messages from some of the prisoners on my Facebook page, letting us know that they are being blessed by this worldwide platform. So it's not in vain. Again, the phone lines are open right now for anyone that have dialed in. If you are blessed by the word on tonight, or if you have a question, or you want to give an Overseer Jackson words of encouragement, you have an opportunity to do so now. The phone lines are open. Anyone? Praise the Lord.
Yes, I truly have been blessed by the word of God tonight. Keep on teaching the word of God. And I'll be praying for y'all. Y'all pray for me. And I'm a living witness of not being able to go to the grocery store, can't go to church, but I still keep my mind and my eyes on Jesus. And I'm asking y'all just continue to pray for me that I get better and get back in God's house.
Amen. And guess what? Right. Now, he's going to do that for you because that's the desire of your heart. He's going to grant you the desires of your heart. So you just keep the faith and just watch God work on your behalf. We know that we are praying for you. Thank you so much.
All right.
Anyone else? Anyone else? Praise the Lord. Anyone else? The phone lines are still open. Sister Mary Ann, are you on the line tonight? My phone may be on mute. But anyway, Mother Essie Tutt from North Carolina, know that we are definitely praying for you, and God knows your heart.
All right.
So you just keep the faith and keep your hands in God's hands, and he's going to do what you asked him to do so that you can be... that your faith can be increased even more. So we just thank God for you. Know that we are praying for you. We love you.
All right.
Anyone else?
I remember James. I remember a song that James Cleveland used to sing, Lord, do it for me. And so I'm asking God right now, in the name of Jesus, to look on Mother's request. And God, bring it to pass. You know what she needs. You know what she wants. I ask you now in the name of Jesus to make it happen quick and in a hurry. Hey, God. Hey, my God, in the name of Jesus, quick and in a hurry. The Bible said, make haste, O Lord. Do it now in Jesus' name. We pray that she might have a living testimony of what you've done for her. Glory to God. Thank you.
Amen. I teach and agree in the name of Jesus. He said, where two of you are teaching and agreeing, he will be in the midst. So we know that he is hearing and answering our prayers right now on your behalf, Mother Chip. Anyone else? The phone lines are still open. Anyone else? Well, praise the Lord. Again, we know that a lot of people are on the line, but some people don't say anything when we open up the phone, but we still thank God for you for taking time out of your business schedule to tune in and be blessed by the word. Overseer Jackson, I just thank God for you. Thank God that he's working a work in your life. Thank God for what he did for you and through you at the homegoing service on today. But like you said, I'm sure that many didn't appreciate it. They may not like it, but when God got his hands on you, you just do what God told you to do and don't worry about the rest. So he is a promise keeper, and he said that we ought to be careful about how we put our hands and our mouths on those that, in other words, the Lord said, touch not my anointing and do my prophet no harm. So sometimes some people, they know who they're talking with and about, and they know who they're dealing with, but some people don't fear God. And some people don't take God at his word, and they don't think God would do what he said he would do. But sometimes, as my mother used to say, some people don't believe that fat meat is greasy until the Lord step in. Until the Lord step in on your behalf, then their eyes become open and they realize who God really is. And he is the one that sent you on a mission for his glory. So when he or she, whoever they are, he know who they are. You don't have to know. God knows who they are. So you just keep being faithful to God and do what he calls you to do and go where he's sending you and do what he say do and watch God work. He got your back. Don't worry. Oversee your death and God got you. So just know that we're still praying for you as well. Once again, the phone lines are still open for anyone else that may want to say anything at this moment before we close out for tonight. Anyone else? I see we have Sister Tara Doss on the line. I think she's doing homework right now over here, but I know she's listening in on tonight. Sister Tara Doss from Peace and Goodwill, one of my church members, she is on the line tonight as well. And other people that did not get a chance to dial in by phone, I know they're going to go back to the website and pull it up and listen to it later on. So we thank God for you being obedient to delivering this word on tonight. Who is this? And while we celebrate Palm Sunday, thank you for this powerful word on tonight. I like the way you broke it down. You made it plain and you made it clear so that but no one could go lacking and say they didn't understand what you were trying to say through the word on tonight. The word of God said, out of all that getting, get understanding. So you broke it down, but everybody has to be able to understand what was said on tonight through the word of God. Thank you so much, Overseer Jackson. We look forward to you being on the air with us again on this coming Thursday afternoon at 2 o'clock. For those of you that are listening now, please mark your calendars. Overseer Jackson will be back with us again next Thursday from 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 3 in the afternoon. And next Saturday night, Pastor Norman King, pastor of the Pictures Outreach Ministries located in Greensboro, North Carolina, will be our guest on next Saturday night delivering God's word. So right now we're going to close out in prayer as we always do. Know that I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. Until the next time, eternal God, our Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come once again giving you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We bless your name because you're truly worthy to be praised. We thank you that there is none like you in all the earth and that you have and hold all power in heaven and earth that's in your hands. Now, Lord, we've trust and agree with Overseer Jackson that you are covenant children all over the land because we know that the enemy is trying to take and steal the minds of the children before they even get to know who Jesus is. So cover the children all over the land that are not being raised right and being raised properly and not being raised in the fear of who Jesus is. Cover them right now in the blood of Jesus, we pray, that they too will come into the knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. They would hear your word. They would be able to open their mouths and accept Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, and they will come to know what their God purpose is and fulfill it in the earth for your glory is our prayer in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we thank you for your word that has gone forth on tonight. We pray, Lord, that you would move by your spirit through every door that's going to be open on tomorrow all over the land, whether it's in person, whether through video, whether through Facebook or through the websites all over the land. We pray that your word will go forth with power through the name of God that you're going to use on tomorrow. Just teach and preach your word on tomorrow that souls will be saved. Backsliders will come back to the fold, and that those that are in the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified through your word on tomorrow, that you get the glory is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, again, know that I love you, but guess what? God loves you even more. So until the next time, continue to be blessed of the Lord. Remember, next Thursday from 2 until 3 o'clock p.m. in the afternoon.
Give you praise. give you praise.
I will rejoice.
Give you praise.